Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have a blog up on that at ESPNUpstate.com. We'll keep you updated on the Braves and the rest of the Major League Baseball postseason, and also the non-sports story that'll make you smile and smirk later on this hour. Telephone number for you to get involved is 844-GSP-ESPN. Text line is at 71307. Please put ESPN in the body of your text message and be a part of the program that way. Poll question that we will have up at ESPNUpstate on Twitter currently reflects a news item that came across earlier today. Washington Redskins have been a summarial joke for the last 20 years. How would I know? Well, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. Didn't necessarily root for the Redskins. Did not hail to the Redskins. But more than observed the mismanagement that has taken place there for the last 20 years. And I do know that there are still a lot of people who, as a result of the heritage nature of that franchise, are still in this area. Trust me, I see Redskin stuff all around on license plate frames and bumper stickers and whatnot that still root for the Washington Redskins. The problem was not the fact that they fired Jay Gruden. It was that they fired Jay Gruden thinking that things were going to change all of a sudden dramatically in week five of a lost season. Not only did they think that they were going to change, but the two people who are basically most responsible for the mismanagement are sitting still in their current positions. Those are Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder. When asked after the game whether or not Jay Gruden would be employed this morning, he had this to say.
Nobody's told me anything, and I don't have a concern. I'll just wait and see. My key work's on Monday. Keep working. Go attack the Miami Dolphins and plan on getting our first win next week.
Well, the key worked. Key worked at 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday. This morning, about 12 hours ago, Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen were waiting for Jay Gruden in his office and said, we need your fob. Apparently, that was basically the extent of the conversation. Jay kind of knew that the writing was on the wall. No one's sitting here and calling Jay Gruden a perfect head coach. No one's sitting here and saying that all the decisions that he made were defensible. However, in the time that Daniel Snyder has been the owner of the Washington Redskins, you have seen a grand total of two, count them, two playoff wins. And one of those happened in the midst of the time that he was taking the transfer of ownership. So, pardon me if I don't give him credit for that one. This is a franchise that has gone from having what was purportedly a season ticket waiting list to now having 75% of the opposing fans in the building and mostly fan apathy. Daniel Snyder is largely perceived and called the worst owner in all of sports. It is not in the best interest of Commissioner Roger Goodell, despite the fact that Daniel Snyder might be a nice guy to him, might be part of the bridge and brotherhood of the 32 NFL owners, which are as tight-knit a group as any amongst ownership groups in sports. But there should be more power from the fans and more power from the commissioner to force out bad ownership. And bad ownership can fall in three different areas. You could be one, not profitable, losing money. Number two, incredibly tight-wadded and cheap. Don't spend any money. And number three, basically be not competitive. Now, no one's going to accuse the Redskins of not being profitable. Yes, the stands have been empty, but tickets keep getting used. The attendance, while it's reported as still being a sellout, is still not a sell. It's still listed as a sellout, even though most of the fans are voting with their wallets or voting with their behinds and saying, you know what, we're not going to come until this product improves. But you can't accuse them of being non-competitive. There are certain teams where I feel like, despite the fact that some years they've done more with less, the fact that they try to do it on the cheap is not good for the sport. The old adage, you have to spend money to make money, is true in sports. And I think fans not necessarily should have the ability to vote out their owner, but there needs to be some sort of accountability strength here with regards to ownership in sports. 844-GSP, ESPN's the phone number, text line 71307. They have this in Europe where if you have a chairman, it's almost kind of like the way that the Green Bay Packers work. Like they're almost like a publicly traded company. They're a public trust. And because of that, they have the ability to affect who makes the decisions. Not necessarily the decisions themselves, but they have the ability to affect who makes the decisions. And I feel like you, the fans, should have more power. And so the poll that we have right now at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, should sports leagues compel bad owners to sell the teams? What are your thoughts? I think yes. I think that not only should the fans have a greater voice in this, but it's in the best interest of the leagues themselves to make sure that everybody is making sure that the tide is rising with all the boats.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, how many teams across all major sports now are we talking about implementing strategies of tanking every year? There's 3, 4, 5 teams per league, per sport, who are tanking.
Ask Miami fans how they feel about the Rosses right now.
And you don't want to cheer for a team, or you don't want to go to your team's games if you know they're going out there purposefully trying to lose. Why would anybody want that? So of course you want ownership in there that wants to try and wants to do whatever it takes to win. You don't want ownership in there that is okay with screwing over their fan base, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're screwing over the fan base, saying, hey, we don't care that you spent all this money on tickets. We don't care that you bought PSLs. We don't care that you do all these things. We're just going to lose. We're just going to lose on purpose.
The team that the Redskins are compared to a lot is the New York Knicks. And believe me, ask New York Knicks fans how they feel about James Dolan. Yes, that guy continues to rake in the profits, but name me the last 5 times in the last 2 centuries that team was actually competitive. You can't name 5. They went to the finals in the lockout shortened season of 99. I think they went to the playoffs maybe 2 times since then, maybe, if that. So, and to be brutally honest, the NBA, I'm not saying that they need the Knicks, but it's in their best interest to have the Knicks be very, very good. It's the best interest for the NFL to have the Redskins be very, very good. That's a franchise that's won 3 Super Bowls. This is not some fly-by-night franchise. It's been around since 1932. This is one of your flagship franchises that is a laughingstock right now. The NFL should be able to move in. Now, we have seen sports leagues force owners to sell based on negligent and bordering on criminal behavior, i.e. Donald Sterling. Why can we not have that happen if they're not promoting the best interests of the sport? Tell me how Daniel Snyder is promoting the best interests of the sport of football by keeping this regime in place with Bruce Allen and the current power structure that's currently sitting there. This is Bruce Allen, who spoke today in a press conference that allowed for no follow-ups to its press corps and seemed very what I would call roundabout in his logic. This is him talking about the justification of the current structure and where it is.
Last year at this time, we're in first place and we're doing well. So it was working pretty damn good. Unfortunately, our quarterback got injured. The pieces are here for a winning team. We have to put them in the right place, believe in each other, and keep fighting for a goal. There's only one way you win. You have to work, and you have to get better, and you have to beat your opponent. And that's what we have to do. And I believe these players and these coaches will do that.
You heard that? Does that sound like horse manure to you? Honestly? Like, that was the most circular amount of baloney that I've heard in a long time. And believe me, I've heard my share of baloney. No one believes that the Redskins could field the competitive team. Like, you thought you were going to go out there with Case Keenum and be world beaters? The entire world expected you to be getting the number one pick this year. And the only reason you might not is because you play the Dolphins head-to-head. Although, they are favored over the Dolphins by 3 points in Miami this week, which could be the battle for the team that gets the number one overall pick. Or it might be the Jets. You never know. They tie. It's more from Bruce Allen that say, basically, answering to the question of how can you defend yourself still having a job right now?
All we can do is work. And do I believe in the group that's here? Yes. Doug and Kyle had a great draft. I think they've had a few great drafts. I see what the coaches are trying to accomplish. I see what the people do at the stadium. They're great workers. They care about this team. They care about this franchise. And I'm not saying I care more than anyone, but I absolutely want what's best for the Washington Redskins, and we're going to make sure we do it.
Really? It's almost as if he has a constant bet on the under and is trying to sabotage this whole thing. And again, don't make no mistake about it. Bruce Allen speaks for Dan Snyder. Bruce Allen might as well be Dan Snyder. That's part of the reason why Dan Snyder still has him employed, because firing Bruce Allen would be something that Daniel Snyder says is impossible, which would be admitting failure. I think that you should have sports leagues be able to compel bad owners to sell teams. 844-GSP, ESPN's the phone number. 60% of you at ESPN Upstate who have voted on the poll say no, and I'm asking you why. Why? Do you want to watch bad football if you're a fan of a certain team? Do you want to see your team continue to tank? Think about it from the college perspective. I was talking about this before with Florida State. Look, Florida State's not going to be bad long. Because guess what? Guess where the real power is? It's not with the athletic director. It's not with the head coach. It's with the boosters and donors. That's where the real money is. And whether it's via a monetary situation or via a vote of season ticket holders, think about this. Think about if it was like the way that you, like the way that the Packers work. Think about if you bought in to a PSL or a season ticket holdership of an NFL franchise, that you also had a voting right. How novel would that be? Think about whether or not if you had attendance to a game, ride on the fact that you had those voting rights. Guess what? You wouldn't see empty seats at football games. But we're looking at a situation now where many people are finding reasons not to go to football games. Many people are finding reasons not to pay season ticket prices. Much of the game is consumed over smart devices, your phone, your tablet, and over the cord-cutting area of things. I think a good way to get fans back in the stadium is to give them more of a voice and to give the leagues more control on being able to determine whether or not these owners should have carte blanche. There's no reason why Daniel Snyder deserves to own a football team anymore. No good reason. The team has complete apathy around it, inside and outside of the organization. The business side of the organization has basically turned completely over. There's been a bloodletting there. People who had been employees going all the way back to the Jack Kent Cook years have left because they're finally fed up. And ask me how I know. I know people who have worked and currently work at the Redskins. It's a shame right now what's going on in those buildings. You think you wouldn't ask them if you gave them some truth serum, would they want to vote out the owner? A lot of them probably would say, hell yeah. Yet, there's carte blanche from a silent, diminutive, crappy owner. And it's not right. You deserve better as fans. You do. And again, I'm not saying this necessarily because this translates a lot locally. I'm just saying because of the fact that this has happened today and the fact that the organization continues to be tone deaf about the real issues that result inside the organization, I felt compelled to speak up on it. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about the Clemson Tigers. And I know a lot of you had some issues last week with what I had to say about Clemson. I have a particular different spin on it that you want to hear about that I haven't necessarily brought to the table yet, and it's part of my latest blog at ESPNUpstate.com. 844-GSP ESPN 71307 is the text line. Willie P and Diesel here with you on Straight Up with Sturge. It's ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Update on what's going on in St. Louis. Last we chatted, the Atlanta Braves have 4-3 lead on the Cardinals. That game is in the top of the sixth inning with the Braves batting with the runner at first and one out. Make that two on as Francisco Cervelli walks to put runners at first and second against Giovanni Gallegos. Again, the Braves lead 2-1 lead in the series. A win tonight in St. Louis, and that series is done. Winner of this series, as we know, gets the winner of the Dodgers and the Nationals. Dodgers leading that series 2-1. Game 4 of that series is tonight. If there is a Game 5, it'd be Wednesday in Atlanta. We would carry that for you at either 5 o'clock or 8. But it's looking more and more, at least as the day goes on, that looks like we're going to possibly, if the Braves can hold on, again, that is a big if over the last couple of games. As you know, the bullpens have been involved with this series in the bad way. If the Braves do hold on, though, they will close that out and advance to the National League Championship Series. More on that game again as we continue throughout the show. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Text line is 71307. We were talking about Florida earlier, and I wanted to at least play this because, you know, I'd said that I am particularly scared about Florida's chances. And again, Florida has what I would call a mammoth schedule still remaining before they even get to that cocktail party game. They have to play LSU on the road. They have to play South Carolina, which, if you ask South Carolina fans, they are still very, very optimistic about that game, which, again, more on you, South Carolina fans. But the LSU game is certainly no slouch. You have to go to Tiger Stadium and play that game at night before you hit the cocktail party. If you win this game, it could be a top five matchup between Georgia and Florida and Jacksonville in a couple of weeks. We'll see if that plays itself out. But Heather Dinich, college football writer for ESPN and reporter, says she's still not convinced about Florida's long-standing ability to be a part of the college football elite.
Florida got a big win, but it was a small step for the Gators in terms of impressing the selection committee, and that's because they have two FCS opponents on their schedule, UT Martin and Towson. So, yes, it was a big deal for them. The defense looked outstanding, but if they lose one game, I promise you guys, that selection committee is going to scrutinize that non-conference opponent.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So the fact is that that game against Towson on the 28th of September looks to be what I would say is almost like how do you let that happen? First off, how do you let that happen? How do you let scheduling two FCS opponents happen in one season? They used to only count one of those games toward your schedule. I know they changed that rule. I know Mr. Power 5 over here happens to love the fact that they have two FCS schools playing in the same season. The 2018 and 19 schedules each include two FCS opponents. It's not good. Only one win counts towards a school's bowl eligibility, essentially meaning that Florida would have to win seven games if he wins both games against FCS opponents. Again, bowl eligibility is not necessarily something that it happens. That's crazy. That is crazy. They apparently had two of them last year when they played Charleston Southern and Idaho. Idaho had moved back to FCS since they had scheduled that game, so they'd given Florida an exemption for that year. So that's kind of how that works. It's not like it won't necessarily have an effect on their ability in the playoff, but again, their strength of schedule takes a massive hit with result of having those two FCS games in play. Meanwhile, for Clemson, who takes on Florida State this week, 3:30 kick. You'll hear it on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. The day gets started with the Ingles College Football Kickoff Show with Mark Ryan, Fatboy, and 9 at 10:30 in the morning. I have a blog out at ESPNUpstate.com, which chronicles a lot of our discussion from last week during the bye. You're going to hear from Jeff Scott and Brett Venables about an hour from now. But part of my thesis on Clemson right now reflects with regards to this. I think that we've created a bit of an unreasonable standard for Clemson to live up to right now. Part of it centers around the fact that they have had such an amazing run of success over the course of the last couple of years that when they fail to play to form, it looks jarring to the eye. The fact that they've had more wins, and not only wins, but convincing wins, than bad performances or losses over the course of the last 4 or 5 years is telling, but it makes those bad performances and losses stand out more, and it almost makes you confound the two. So much so that a couple of guests that we had on the show last week of Clemson Vintage almost had to step over themselves by saying, the loss to North Carolina, when in reality it wasn't a loss to North Carolina, it was a win. But looking at the game on surface level, it almost kind of felt like a loss. And listening to the way that some of the players handled the bye week, it's almost kind of the way that we handled it last week. The coaches and players know that despite the fact that they felt in the moment that their game was up to snuff, and that they made the requisite plays they knew to win, it at least was something that they knew they were in a game that was significant doubt in. And because of that, they need to make sure that they go back to the way that they handled the first four games of their schedule, which was, again, leave no doubt. This is part of their 2019 revenge tour mantra that has permeated throughout the Clemson program. And because of that, I almost think it's almost easy to ignore that there at least are abilities for these other teams to actually have a pulse. That's the part of this that people don't want to admit, is that, oh, by the way, UNC does have scholarships too. Oh, by the way, Wake Forest is also undefeated and tied for first in the ACC Atlantic. Oh, by the way, Virginia basically held its own at Notre Dame, played them a lot closer than many thought they would have at Notre Dame Stadium, the same team that took Georgia to the brink a couple of weeks ago at Sanford Stadium. So, what is it? Is Clemson falling back to the pack? Or are these other teams actually starting to look more legit? No one wants to give the ACC any credit. That's whatsoever at all. Not to say that they deserve it just yet, because, quite honestly, we still have to see more of a sample size. We actually have to see somebody actually beat Clemson pound for pound on the same field that's not named Alabama. And not just beat Clemson, but beat them when they have a full deck. Like 2 years ago against Syracuse, you discount that game because you didn't have your starting quarterback. Last year, Syracuse took Clemson to the brink like North Carolina did, but did not win. A couple of years ago, Pittsburgh did it. And a lot of people wondered, okay, well, when's the next Pittsburgh? Who's the next Pittsburgh? Who's the next team? And like I said earlier, it's not as if the boosters at Florida State are going to allow that team to stink for long. Same thing goes for Miami. Well, again, it's probably not a booster thing. It's more of the alumni who are connected with that team. It was funny. I was watching the Miami-Virginia Tech game. I don't know if you saw that game this weekend, Diesel. That was a 28-0 game in favor of Virginia Tech. Miami came all the way back only to lose by 7. And somebody who I was with who's spent some time in Florida basically said, the thing about Miami is that school only has an enrollment of about 9,000, but you wouldn't know it by the people who always say that they're rooting for that team. So, again, it's more about the city's attachment to that team and the alumni who played for Miami's attachment to that team than it is actually the people who have Miami as part of a diploma. And if you know anything about that particular university, you know it's not really in Miami. It's actually in Coral Gables, which is a retirement community. South Beach is not exactly on the other side of your biology lab, if you know what I mean. Point being, we've held Clemson to an unreasonable standard that's impossible to uphold and stand up to. And quite honestly, because of it, people are now confounded by what happens when we see Clemson play a game that does not look above their standard. And because of that, you now are looking at a situation where people are looking at Clemson and saying, okay, what happens next? Do they come out and have the same type of bounce back that they've had in the positions that they've been in before? Or do they somehow lay an egg against the Florida State or Wake Forest and lose? I don't think that the latter is going to happen. But I do think that we have to get ready for the standpoint of maybe this isn't Clemson's problem. Maybe this is just everybody else getting better. It could just be, again, that Clemson played a garbage game. It could just be that Clemson had its clunker for the year, like everybody says it is. But make no mistake, the ceiling has to exist for Clemson's development. It's not just as if they're just going to keep getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better. There has to be a means to the end. And eventually, these particular schools have to change the way they do business to compete with Clemson in the very frame of mind that they are at least trying to survive in this conference. This conference didn't always have the bad reputation it seems to have. And it's not because of anything that those schools did. It's because of what Clemson did and they didn't. And so now schools are recognizing, okay, this is what we have to do. This is the type of particular investment that we have to put in this sport in order to compete with Clemson. And because of that, you're now looking at a situation where there are schools who are actually saying, okay, now we know what the heck we have to do to stand up to them. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. They're heading to the bottom of the sixth in St. Louis. The Cardinals have just stranded the bases loaded with Braves. So Atlanta had an opportunity to possibly add to its 4-3 lead, but they could not do so. And therefore, the Cardinals will come to bat in the sixth inning down one. The Braves sitting 12 defensive outs away from capturing the National League Division Series against St. Louis and possibly advancing on to a date with the Dodgers in the NLCS. 844-GSP, ESPN. The phone number, text line is at 71307. More on the rest of the Major League Baseball postseason and what has stood out as we continue on ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. We sit in the bottom of the sixth in St. Louis. It's Atlanta 4 and St. Louis 3. I'm guessing that's why we've been a little quiet today. People are watching the Braves game, guessing. Maybe it's just because I haven't been mean today. It's funny, I get an acid tongue for a week, and you all get angry at me, and yet I try to be nice, and no one wants to chit-chat. Other than Delvin. So maybe I just got to go back to being mean to everybody. I had a joke about the Kansas thing that was directed toward Clemson fans, but I held my tongue because I'm trying to be nice. But I guess not. Guess nobody wants to chat today. Okay. I'll just talk amongst myself. Atlanta 4, Cardinals 3. I'll say this. Dansby Swanson, for some reason, drew my ire during the latter part of the season. And it wasn't necessarily just because of what he was doing. It was because of what Danny Echevarria has been doing, or at least what he was doing near the end of the season, where it seemed like he was running into every pitch and turning it into a home run or an extra base hit since coming over from the New York Mets. Well, Dansby in this postseason has been completely off the charts. 2-for-2 today with 2 runs scored. And we're entering that part of the game where the Braves have dominated. Coming into today, 10 of their 12 runs have come in the seventh inning or later of games. That's a big, big stat. And it was a stat that many thought would not hold the test of time during the postseason. The old adage in baseball is that, you know, pitching dominates in October. October is where hitting goes to die. A lot of people start to get better books on guys, better scouting reports. Your tendencies are known, especially once you see a team over the course of the longer series. This one, again, a short series, only 5 games at the max. But obviously, there's something about this Braves team that gives them the ability to have a particular knack for not only the dramatic, but for the late innings. Now, they've also been bit by that same bug. Having to remake the bullpen in late July was not what this particular organization had planned at the beginning and the outset of the season. But over the last couple of days, they've really patched it together. Luke Jackson came in and shut the door after Dallas Keuchel gave up a solo home run on the fourth to Marcelo Zuna. Two solo home runs in the first inning given up by Keuchel. Not only by Ozuna, but also one by Goldschmidt. But since then, it's been the Braves' bullpen that has actually won the day. Jackson pitched an inning in the third scoreless, struck out three. Darren O'Day finished out the fifth, it was the fifth inning, retiring his only batter. Sean Newcomb has pitched a scoreless sixth. So tell me more about how much that Braves bullpen stinks. Newcomb with that scoreless sixth, only 12 pitches thrown. The Braves are now 9 outs away from the NLCS. Again, they would take on either the Dodgers or the Nationals. The Dodgers a 2-1 game lead in that series. Nationals win, they would force the series back to Los Angeles for a Game 5 on Wednesday. If the Cardinals come back, they'd play Game 5 on Wednesday back in Atlanta. That game will be heard here on ESPN Upstate if it gets to that point. We're also working on a coverage plan for the NLCS if the Braves do advance that far. Again, a lot of it depends on the football and stuff that we have on our air. Also, the Swamp Rabbits getting started here in a couple of weeks, too. So be on the lookout. We'll keep you as updated as we possibly can with our coverage plans involving that. But we do at least plan on having much of the national calls from the Atlanta Braves perspective over the course of the latter part of this postseason and, of course, the World Series here on ESPN Upstate. Some of the other series going on, it was earlier today, the Rays staving off elimination, beating the Astros by a score of 10-3. Real bad outing for Zach Greinke. He did not have it early. Charlie Morton victimizes his former team. Morton, of course, the former Astro. He wasn't as good early, giving up a solo home run to Jose Altuve, but he ended up settling himself down, pitching 5 innings, allowing just the 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 9 Ks. Kevin Kiermaier went deep, Choi went deep, low, and Adames also going deep off of Wade Miley, who came in relief. This is an Astro team that, quite honestly, is the favorite in the American League, and a loss for them isn't necessarily the worst thing. They have an opportunity to come back tomorrow and end the series much in the same way that the Braves do here tonight. Yankees and Twins later on this evening. Yankees with a 2-0 series lead. They've mashed the heck out of the ball against the Twins in a series that many believed would include some offense. But, of course, now the question is, once the Twins are back in their friendly confines, whether or not they'll be able to handle things a lot better than they did against the Yankees. Looked like Ronald Acuna Jr. just had a triple that got past the center fielder.
Yeah, those shadows out there just seem to be really affecting the St. Louis outfielders.
It's the one thing that I don't like about the postseason and the way that they've built these new ballparks. It's almost as if they built the ballparks to not account for the sun. And that is a bad sun field at Busch Stadium. I'm telling you it is. The sun peers in, and
he's staring directly at the sun.
It's not good. It's not good at all. And you know that's not a bad outfielder out there either with Fowler. That's a bad sun field. Looked like Acuna was going to try to go home on the ball hit in the infield, but it was cut down by Colton Wong in enough time to look the runner back and throw to first for the out. One out in the top of the seventh with the Braves trying to extend a 4-3 lead. And again, the other game tonight, again, is Dodgers-Nationals. It gets underway at 6:40 tonight. And also, can I get on the soapbox for a second? There are some people who are starting to talk about things involving the particular stuff involving the like attendance. I am getting off of attendance Twitter. I am never going to tweet about attendance ever again because all it does is bring about problems. And I almost feel like attendance Twitter is the most tired Twitter of all. Like, I cannot stand people who complain about attendance anymore. It's just not a thing. It's not a thing I want to be a part of anymore. There's always a reason. And quite honestly, that game is a 2 o'clock game in St. Louis in the middle of the day. That's a hard ask for people. I know it's the postseason. That's a hard ask for working folk. Hard ask for working folk to do in a blue-collar city like St. Louis. I don't know if Atlanta could fill a 2 o'clock game, but, I mean, come on, guys. What are we even doing? Another guy's getting on me about who didn't want Dansby on the postseason roster. Now I'm getting it from the Braves fans because I made some comments on the week that I was in Atlanta about not liking Dansby Swanson, and now they're all coming home to roost. Look at Dansby Swanson having, you know, the damn series of his life now.
Especially after you just flat out said on the air 10 minutes ago that you were wrong.
Yeah. Well, these are the Atlanta people who are getting at me now. These are the Atlanta people who aren't listening. They were listening to me when I was down there that week, and now it's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine with admitting that I was wrong. It's all okay. It's all very much okay. 844-GSP ESPN, the phone number. Text line 71307. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk comes your way next. Don't fall asleep in your rideshare vehicle, whatever you do. I'll explain the next ESPN Upstate. We'll see if the Braves can get the run home. Acuna was sitting there at third with one out. Now there's two, first and third, two out. Andrew Miller is on to try and possibly get the Cardinals out of this inning. Josh Tomlin looks like he will pitch in the bottom of the seventh. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. Again, now I'm getting all these people hitting here saying, do you still think Florida is garbage? Everyone's coming home to roost now. Everyone's just coming home to roost now. Y'all, maybe you just don't understand that this job is not exactly wash, rinse, repeat here. 844-GSP, ESPN, the phone number. Tony is calling, wants to talk a little Cardinals Braves. What's up, Tony? How are you?
Good, Willie P. First of all, you have to know that St. Louis has the best sports fans in all of the world. I think you spent some time in St. Louis.
I have.
You got to know that, right? I mean, St. Louis has the best fans in the world.
I wouldn't say that I agree with that notion, but they do will live a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy when it comes to their Cardinals and how awesome they are.
I mean, the Blues, and I mean, as far as their hospitable, they're very hospitable. They respect good baseball. They'll clap for the other team. Won't boo. They're very knowledgeable fans.
And I understand.
I lived in St. Louis for a while, and I know you were out there for a while. But anyway. From an architectural standpoint, you best believe that when an architect or firm goes to build a $300 million baseball stadium, they care about where the sun is going to be and where it's going to be and when it's going to be there. But you have to factor in from, you know, March, April, May, June, July, basically, you know, a whole cycle of throughout the year or 9 months where the sun is obviously comes up in the east and sets in the west. But I heard you just mention that a center fielder had trouble with a baseball. And essentially what you have is the question of right now, would you rather have the sun in the center fielder's eyes or would you rather have it in the batter's eyes? And the answer is always going to be the center fielder's eye and just hope that he sees it and can catch it.
Appreciate the call, Tone. Thank you so much for it. It's a hard sun field. That's all I'll say. When they say it's a hard sun field, it's what they've all told me, players who've played there and things of that nature, and obviously what I've noticed in my time there. And again, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you joining us. Non-sports story of the day that'll make you smile and smirk. A gentleman in Scotland fell asleep in his Uber Friday night, woke up a long way away from home, and an Uber bill that was over 400 euros. Basically, it was...
It was like 20 bucks?
He was more than 100 miles away from where he lives. 400 euros to dollars? No, that's quite a bit. 400 euros to dollars. 438 bucks. Pretty penny. He was 100 miles away from where he lives. He said, I woke up still drunk, and when I saw sheep kicking about the countryside, I thought the guy had taken me to Musselburgh, which is a town basically 5 miles from the city center of Edinburgh, 100 miles away from where the guy was going to be. He had to hop on several buses and trains, but eventually ended up back in his home on Saturday, more than 12 hours after the club closed. 112 miles. Man. That's a rough Uber. Don't fall asleep in your rideshare, folks. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. The reopen next. We'll talk some more NFL as well and what the NFC South looks like at this point of the season, almost at the quarter pole. ESPN Upstate.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.